Controlling malaria is a complicated affair. It involves combining different interventions, each with their own limitations, to try and break malaria's cycle of transmission and reduce case incidence and mortality. Control programs, therefore, typically involve bed net distribution, the spraying of insecticides, and the use of diagnostics and treatment. Yet there's another intervention that could also help to curb transmission. Mass Drug Administration, or MDA, is a blanket public health intervention that distributes antimalarial drugs to everyone in a community, irrespective of symptoms or infection. The key is to give out the drugs in the dry season, when mosquitoes are less active and transmission is low. Doing so reduces the biomass of the malaria parasite in the human, so that when the rainy season comes, the mosquito picks up fewer parasites, thus reducing onward transmission. It can be used to reduce transmission in areas of low prevalence and in complex health emergencies that have the potential to overwhelm healthcare structures. Sound familiar? Well, to explore further the issue of mass drug administration for malaria, a large-scale study was conducted in Zambia. It culminated in a series of articles just published in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. The series was introduced by Dr. Pedro Alonso, the WHO's malaria director. Well, I'm joined now by John Miller, a senior malaria technical advisor at PATH, who was heavily involved in the study. John, thanks for joining me. Could you briefly explain why Zambia was chosen as the location of the study?
Sure. So this trial was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation through a project at PATH called MASEPA. And MASEPA primarily works in three countries. Zambia has been the sort of flagship for MASEPA for about 15 years. And so, you know, it was a natural fit for doing this kind of work. We also built the study off of previous studies we had been working on for other types of community treatment delivery interventions. So it was, a bit of a flow of learning in Zambia that led us to the MDA trial.
So could you talk me through the situation in Zambia and why mass drug administration is being considered for the country?
Sure. Most countries in Africa rely on, you know, the sort of core interventions which WHO recommends, including Zambia. This primarily vector control, trying to reduce mosquito populations, densities, and specifically those that, you know, are the most efficient transmitters of malaria that bite people indoors. So, you know, heavily relying on mosquito nets, insecticide-treated nets, and then indoor residual spraying, but also case management, mostly through facility-based service delivery of case management. Throughout Africa, I think Zambia has been following that and still obviously follows that guidance and has largely achieved pretty high levels of coverage of those core interventions. I think part of the reason why we wanted to look at other interventions is because of a sense of almost we've gotten what we can out of the core set of interventions. Or we'd gotten a lot of what we could out of the core interventions. And so we wanted to see what else we could try that relied on the tools we have in hand.
The drug you used in the study was dihydroartemisinin piperaquine, DHAP. Now, why was that particular drug used in terms of its therapeutic and prophylactic value that make it ideal for something like mass drug administration?
Yes. So the, you know, for MDA, you really want something that's, has a good safety record, that's well tolerated, that's very efficacious. So the old MDA days used chloroquine when, you know, that's what was available. It has all those, but then obviously it got a lot of resistance. So in the current environment, using combination drugs is really the recommended way to go. So we were using DHAP because it's a combination therapy. It has all those, it has a good safety record, it's well tolerated, it's efficacious, and it has this therapeutic tail which you get from piperaquine, which makes it more ideal. Obviously, a longer tail, a longer period of prophylaxis is even more preferred, but we don't quite have that yet. And the other thing that was, I think, influential in this, in the context of other drugs available too, is that the DHAP had recently been sort of pre-qualified from a manufacturer that met one of these stringent regulatory authority approval regulation, you know, regulatory bodies. So it was a drug that was becoming available in sort of a global sense of being able to be procured, from, you know, funding agencies that are okay with, or that really require these SRAs, the stringent regulatory authority. And, you know, those are regulatory bodies that really run the drugs through the mill and have a solid evidence base behind the drug. You know, we obviously wanted to take advantage of that, all that work that had been done. And the other key thing is we wanted a different drug than what the country was using for its, you know, its first line antimalarial treatment for uncomplicated malaria. So Zambia is using AL. And so we didn't want to use the same drug for that. AL is not as ideal as DHAP for a number of, well, mainly for the fact that it's being used already, but also because the lumefantrine it's cleared a lot quicker. You don't really get a prophylactic period with that.
Sure. And the study that you conducted across Zambia had 60 different health facilities. Could you describe the different conditions that you had in the study?
Yeah, so the trial was conducted in Southern Province. So it was really the 60 catchments were really confined to an area within one province. And this was largely along Lake Kariba in Southern Province. The transmission patterns of Southern Province made it ideal for this study, and that there was we were able to carve out of the 60 catchments. We really wanted to look at sort of the effect of the MDA in lower and higher transmission areas. And Southern Province sort of presented that nicely for us, because the higher burden areas are somewhat confined, and then there's a sort of adjacent lower transmission areas, which we also included in the 60. So the 60 was split between 30 higher burden and 30 lower burden. And then within those strata, we had three study arms. One was a control arm, and then we had an arm that looked at a focal mass drug administration arm, and then we had a community-wide mass drug administration arm. So the focal drug administration arm was really just providing treatments to houses where anyone tested with a rapid diagnostic test. If anyone in the house tested positive, then everyone who was eligible got the DHAP. So it was focal around the household level where infection was identified. And then the community-wide is basically everybody in the area who's eligible gets it. So it's really the true sort of mass drug administration. And then, you know, as a part of a trial, we do baseline sort of, we did a baseline survey, some baseline information on the various health facility catchment areas. And, you know, we also, as a part of the randomization process, we sort of balanced on what we think will be confounders for the study outcomes, specifically like the vector control. We know vector control reduces malaria burden. So we looked at that when we were doing the randomization of the of the health facility catchments into the arms.
And in terms of when focal mass drug administration or community mass drug administration was used, what kind of health outcomes did you observe?
So we had three primary outcomes for the study. And we looked at those three outcomes in each of the arms, and that's served as the basis of our comparison between the intervention arms and the control arm. So the three outcomes we looked at were prevalence, infection prevalence. We measured that through cross-sectional surveys. We looked at the incidence of infection through a cohort that we monitored across the duration of the trial. And then, our third outcome was routinely reported clinical incidents. So people that were presenting to, a service provider, a healthcare service provider with malaria, symptoms, a fever, and a positive test, So, you know, looking at it in the context of a sort of reported clinical incidents coming from those service providers, those were the three primary outcomes that we looked at.
And what did you conclude?
Malaria in general reduced across the entire study area. So in all three arms over the course of the trial. But in addition to that, MDA reduced malaria burden further, in particular in the lower burden areas, with respect to two of the three outcomes, the outcome of prevalence and clinical incidence. In the higher burden areas, we saw a reduction with the MDA in relation to the incidence of infection through the cohort, which was a statistically significant difference. A couple of key things that we summarized nicely in sort of the last paper that looked across all of the the articles that were a part of the supplement. The sort of scaled intervention package, we call it the SIP, you know, we think that contributed to large declines in malaria across all arms, which is why we saw the burden decline even in the control arm. We didn't see importation of infections, at least as we measured it, to be a driving force for the transmission. Like I said, we have had resistance to pyrethroids, and then we saw the effect regardless in the context of that resistance. And we know that the parasites are susceptible to the ACTs we use. When we compare the MDA to the focal MDA, you know, the MDA, had consistently higher or better results than the focal MDA. It was in that respect sort of a dose response. The more treatments that were provided, the bigger effect that we saw, compared to the scaled or the control arm, the scaled intervention arm. And we think the drugs were delivered, the interventions were delivered as we, as we had expected them to be. So,
sure. And a key policy of the WHO's new strategy, high burden to high impact, is to look beyond these kind of one size fits all approaches and tailor different drugs and interventions to different localities on their individual profile. Now, how do you see Mass Drug Administration fitting into that? What kind of scenarios do you think would be suitable for Mass Drug Administration?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the high burden, high impact, it's an excellent effort, I think, to really refocus attention and resources, to where really the majority of the world's malaria burden exists. Stratification and targeting of really all interventions it's important. And I think we made it, I think, try to make it very clear in this trial and in the write-up that, prior to using MDA in any context, really, in the African setting, substantial efforts are needed to ensure that this sort of scaled intervention package or, the basic core package of malaria control tools that are recommended needs to be in place. I think we went to great lengths to emphasize this, to summarize the findings. And I would say we consider it to, the MDA to be more of an accelerant to malaria progress, sort of once the, priority has been put on this scaled intervention package. Once these, priority core interventions, are in place, then, you can consider, sort of accelerating your progress with MDA. And a lot of that becomes more around cost decisions. But certainly for the targeting issue, as areas progress in reducing their malaria burden, it's always important to sort of re-examine the level of investments that you're making for any intervention, with an eye to sustain those gains, but to gain some efficiencies, because money's always limited in the fight against malaria, so you're always going to have to prioritize. But to sustain the gains and figure out ways to gain efficiencies to continue to to make progress.
And on the subject of cost effectiveness, how cost effective is mass drug administration?
So one of the articles we have in the supplement goes into great detail about the cost effectiveness that we measured. We did find it to be, according to WHO, thresholds for cost effectiveness. It was a cost effectiveness intervention. The mass drug administration is slightly better. It's slightly more cost effective than doing the focal drug administration. And we found that to be the case as well, MDA to be slightly more cost effective in higher transmission settings than in the lower transmission settings. Mostly that's the denominator issue of having more malaria that you're affecting. And, as I said, we view malaria MDA as an accelerant. So once these other things are in place, it could be considered, but again, would, obviously prioritize making sure that this core package is done well and, coverage is high, really prior to kind of launching into an MDA effort.
And we briefly touched on this before, but the malaria parasite is awfully good at adapting or resisting the drugs that we use to fight it. There's widespread resistance to chloroquine and growing resistance to artemisinin and to the insecticides, as we pointed out, to the pyrethroids used in bed nets. Does the ubiquitous use of antimalarial drugs like DHAP for mass drug administration not increase this risk of resistance and potentially reduce the drug's longevity, given that there are few drugs as it is?
Well, resistance is in some ways inevitable. We are always sort of on a clock for the drugs or chemicals that we're using, whether it be for killing mosquitoes or parasites with treatments. For MDA or for treatments in general, we rely on these combination drugs. We think those help mitigate a lot of the sort of expected onset of resistance, help delay that process. We use the combination drug for the MDA efforts, and we used a different one than we use for case management in the Zambia context. We also monitor drug resistance regularly. The program monitors drug resistance, and we've not seen any change in the therapeutic efficacy from the standard WHO therapeutic efficacy studies that have been done in Zambia and in the areas where we've done the MDA trial. It is important to think about MDA as time limited effort, and which could also help mitigate the onset of resistance and the timeline. So using it for a certain period of time and then not continually trying to do MDA in the same areas or if you're not seeing that it's having that effect. So I mean, there's a lot of intelligence you need to build into your program with regard to monitoring resistance, and I think Zambia is doing a good job with that, and we've not seen any of that so far with the MDA that's happened in Zambia.
Okay. And one of the use cases for mass drug administration is in the context of a public health crisis. Indeed, it was used in the Ebola outbreak, for example. What are your recommendations for the use of MDA in the context of the coronavirus pandemic? And is it still safe to distribute the drugs when there's a different mode of transmission, when the virus, coronavirus, can be transmitted through the air and not just through touch?
Well, I think with most malaria interventions, we would hope that we don't see a delay or a reason to postpone them in face of other big health challenges. As you mentioned, in the Ebola outbreak, MDA was used really to help, I think, clear out malaria so that Ebola might be better able to be identified. In the context of Zambia, we haven't been using MDA, since COVID, started. It's just, I think the COVID sort of pandemic has been just recent, and MDA hasn't been either available or used in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic yet. But, you know, I think I would sort of put it in the same category as most malaria interventions. We would need to be take precautions for how interventions are delivered, as much as possible, social distancing and paying attention to how COVID is spread, minimizing contact, but at the same time still delivering the key malaria services. This is a treatment. MDA is a treatment. It's not you can provide treatments in ways that don't they don't rely on having contact with an individual. If you're testing them, that's a different story. But it's also, testing is a key part of health service delivery, and done by health professionals. So I think, I'm not sure that's the best answer for that question, but we don't want to see, the core malaria services being interrupted, really in any situation, because, malaria is such a serious illness when you have it, especially for young kids. You don't want to delay or to have other things affect it in a way that causes your malaria situation to get worse. Mm.
And the study presents very clearly that mass drug administration is effective, as you say, against those three parameters: prevalence, incidence, and reported incidence at service providers. Now, given what you've found, and you've presented this to the WHO, how do you hope, or do you hope, that their guidelines on mass drug administration will change?
So, as a study team, we presented the results of this trial, or some early results of this trial, to an evidence review panel. This was in 2018, on the main outcomes. And we certainly hope that, the publication of the full range of the articles and the supplement provides, some additional information to consider about, where MDA adds value in the overall, toolbox for malaria control elimination. WHO recommends other mass treatment-based strategies like seasonal malaria chemoprophylaxis, which is targeting slightly different outcomes and reducing severe disease and deaths in children. MDA is sort of an extended form of that, and to a large degree. I think we're still learning how to, appropriately apply these treatment-based interventions, especially in the African context. The WHO's recommendations are certainly, I agree with their recommendations for MDA and the way they're defined. And I think a lot of the what we've shown in this trial, especially for lower burden areas, is that it can play a role. Given other core interventions are in place, that might be a bit of the nuance in the African setting that we've added to the overall argument. But WHO, I think, recommends that for low burden areas, probably lower burden than what we've suggested, but hopefully expanding that range a little bit, and also stressing the need for the presence of the other core interventions to be there, to be done well before MDA, I think, is added to the toolbox, is I think what we're saying.
John Miller, thanks very much.
Thank you.